taking the Word of God, the Scriptures now, let's turn in them to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 23, the whole chapter. We heard last Lord's Day of the birth of Christ and the genealogy from Abraham to him through Joseph. And now we hear what happens to him after he was born. Immediately, generally speaking, after he was born. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, these are the words of God. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping with her for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And that is the word of God. So the Father has sent the Son, now born of a woman by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see in the passage before us not three kings coming from the east to see Jesus. We see wise men. It does not even say the number of wise men. And these wise men, the Magi, go seeking for the king of the Jews. You can understand why Herod would be upset at this, because he is Caesar. He is another king. He's the god of the Romans. He is king, and therefore there cannot be another king. And so what did he do but to go get the Jewish leaders together and ask, where is it prophesied that the Messiah was to be born? And they tell him, Bethlehem, of course. And so as Herod collects his search party of these wise men, they are to go and find the Messiah and report back. And he does get these magi deceptively, saying that he desires to worship this Messiah. After this, the wise men, they go to Jesus and they rejoiced in him. And they, it says, even exceedingly they rejoiced with great joy. They were worshiping him. They gave him great gifts. And yet they were warned by God not to return to Herod. And so they returned to their homes in the east. Now Herod was working out a plan to put Jesus to death. And so the Lord takes them out of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. He takes them out of Bethlehem to Egypt, and there he remained until the death of Herod. And so Hosea 11:1 could be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. And there in Hosea 11, the Lord's talking about the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, the Exodus, which we've been studying on Sunday mornings here. There, God owned them as, we learned, His firstborn. And yet here it applied to Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus sympathizing with our weaknesses. He suffers this world as Israel did, as we do. But the Lord brings us out of this, as He did Israel, as He did with Jesus. But while Herod was still living, Jesus was in Egypt. Herod was killing all the male children. Sounds exactly like the beginning of Exodus again. The attempt to do what? Even though they might not know, Satan working through Pharaoh, Satan working through Herod, trying to kill the seed, that the seed of the woman from Genesis 3:15 that leads to Jesus. And here's Herod doing that, Satan working through him. But that is not to be. For he is not in Bethlehem. He is in Egypt. The end of the chapter describes Jesus' return out of Egypt and his living in Galilee and Nazareth, all to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so as we're seeing much of in Acts, beloved, this Jesus through whom there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, He suffered this world as we do now. He, who is God, was made like you, man, to be a perfect sacrifice for your sins, so that you may have life. And here you are called, like the Magi, the wise men, to bow down to Him and worship Him. This Jesus whom God brought about and saved, we might say, from Herod, bringing about His sacrifice for our sins that we might be saved ourselves. Let us worship Him now through prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the incarnation of Your Son, sending Him not grasping upon His divinity, but even coming and taking on human flesh, human nature, and yet not giving up that divine nature. He is God in two natures, in one person forever. We thank You for this. We thank You that You caused Him to come and to suffer, to be made a man, the God-man under the law, to fulfill the law for us. You made Him to suffer, that we would not have to suffer for all eternity. We thank You for His perfect righteousness that is imputed to us. Not only His passive righteousness at His death on the cross, but His active obedience. That which is that perfect life which is earned for us by faith. And now is imputed to us because of that. Justification by faith. Father, we praise You for Your Son. We praise You for His sacrifice. We praise You that He is now on the throne, that He is now King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. and He is in complete control. Thank You that You are the sovereign God who not only has created us, but continues now to sustain us. That You're the God who watches over us and cares for us and guards us and gives us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, present now in our hearts. Father, what great blessings we see implied here. Thank You that You have brought about many of the fulfillments of the Old Testament that pointed to Christ, not all because He has not done all things yet. He has not come again. We are continually in these last days hoping for that second coming. We're asking now, You, Father, that You would send Him quickly because He promised that He would come quickly. Father, we often struggle in this world. We think sometimes, how are we going to survive? How are we going to continue because of the trials and the circumstances and the difficulties that we go through? Yeah, Father, we ask that You would continually remind us of the Spirit that is present in our hearts. And that You would remind us that if it was possible that we could lose our sin, we would lose our salvation. But we have Your Spirit in our hearts sustaining us, and Your Son who's already perfected us and brought us about in a declarative sense before You, Father, to be righteous and holy in Your sight. And now we ask that You would put to death the sin that remains, that it would not only be declarative righteousness, but it would be a good and full sanctification and cleansing of our sin, that You would glorify us as You have glorified Your Son. And this we know will happen because You rose Christ from the dead, so You will raise up our bodies from the dead. And You will glorify us. Father, this day as we've seen here a wicked ruler, and Herod, we ask and pray for our rulers and authorities over us, that they would not be wicked, killing the male children, or killing babies, that You would cause them to rule well according to Your Word, that You would even save them from their sins and cause them to bow the knee and worship You. This we pray for our peace, for the church, that we would be able to worship You continually and proclaim the gospel, that more sinners would be saved. We pray for our children, that You would save them. You would give them the faith and the gospel that they've heard many, many times. Even those who have gone out from us and who do not know You. Father, bring them into the light as You are the light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.